Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns newscast dated February 9th, 2018. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, this week Asclepius has some family affairs to take care of, so I'll just do the news alone this time and we'll see how it goes. We have Avatar's update number 266, the making of South Midmar Way and South Fetid Swamp and New Bears. So we can get underway here with the making of South Midmar Way. South Midmar Way used to be the location of a thriving city with lovely canals on the shore of a large lake in an otherwise arid region. The city grew rich on the trade through the area as it sat astride the main road. The rulers of the city built tombs to themselves amongst the cliffs and hid their treasures in them, defended by traps, of course. However, the lake dried up and the town was abandoned. Now opportunistic satyrs have set up a bazaar in the ruins and plunderers raid the tombs. So this is from a dev forum post by Chris C. Wolf. Hey folks, I have a few screenshots to share of our updates to South Midmar Way. The visuals are inspired by African grasslands like the Kathari, as well as the ruins and rough terrain of the Valley of the Kings. The Satyr Bazaar lies at the heart of the grasslands, nestled within the canals of an ancient city. In the mountainous ravines, plunderers and satyrs alike are raiding the tombs of ancient kings, which are scattered throughout the map. And so there's some great pictures here of a new Satyr Bazaar. So I wonder if there's going to be some places to buy there. That could be pretty fun. And then we have some grasslands. Wow, it looks like definitely used to be some water there. There's some dry docked boats. And then we have the Plunderer's Airship. We'll probably go explore that a little bit if we did a little walking. And then the Tomb of the Child King. And that looks pretty wild, so we'll have to take a look at that. That could have some fun stuff to explore. And that was from Chris Wolf, level designer. Next up, we have the making of South Fetid Swamp. From a dev post forum, post by Esteban Sorcerer Steve Zaldivar. Hey guys, Sorcerer Steve here to give you the latest on my newest map, South Fetid Swamp. Located on the western end of Verdantis, it is the site of an ancient siege, now littered with pugent skeletons, battered siege machines, and moss-covered encampments. Methane is known to come out of the bog from time to time and produce small fires on the surface of the water. The ancient siege of Castle Irvine. After a prolonged siege, the attacking forces consisting of elves assaulted the south side of the castle. Waves of boats crossed the swamp, but upon landing on the shore, they were met with the unrelenting arrow fire. Few managed to get ashore, and those that did then had to scale the mud cliffs. The slippery, damp mud made utilizing ladders and ropes very difficult. Casualties mounted, but a brave few managed to break inside the castle courtyard. And these are some good pictures here, by the way, of these new areas. And also a mysterious mudhouse dwelling deep within the fetid swamp. And we can probably take a look in there. And many of the swamp locals like to keep to themselves in this neck of the woods, inside of the mysterious mudhouse dwelling. Ah, very nice, looks very cool. Looking down the heavily forested swamp littered with cypress knees, fish can be seen through the green water. Stay tuned for another update on South Fetid Swamp. So that'll be, sounds like a nice remake of a swamp area, which I don't know if they've done any swamp areas, so it'll be kind of neat to see how that turns out. All right, next up here we have New Bears to Roam New Britannia. From a DevPlus forum post by Starlong, we originally purchased our bears from the Unity Asset Store to save time and money, but they were not visually competitive. To address this shortcoming, Kevin at Ugly Fist Wells completely rebuilt the bears for Release 51, including all the variations, the bear headdresses, the bear mask, and the Bear Clan Barbarians. And so we have the brown bear, who is looking a little better. He's got a little bit lighter color fur there. And the grizzly bear looks a little more muscular, a little darker. And the polar bear, he's a nice, big, ferocious bear. And the patriarch bear, very muscular. Looks like he's going to be very vicious. And the obsidian bear, who looks very cool. He'll be a little more, almost a blue tint to him. Have to see how he looks in game two. So that'll be pretty interesting to see these new bears. And I'm wondering if they'll also adjust our little trophies to make their heads match up to what they look like now. So that'll be cool. All right, so next up we have Vendor Variations and Improvements from a DevPlus forum post by Star Long. In Release 51, we began improving the player vendors through a series of technical and visual improvements. The first thing we will try to improve is visual variation. Long term, we plan to support customization of vendors via equipment choice, but for now we are focusing on providing that visual variation through our pattern systems. These patterns will include a female version of the current vendor, a completely new outfit based on Victorian shopkeeper uniforms with gender and skin tone variations, and a cash register that will act as a fully functioning player vendor even though it does not appear as an NPC. We are also moving player vendors to the actual NPCs with AI behaviors versus just being interfaces, so that they can animate, sit down, etc., instead of being statues that are just interfaces. This will allow us to do things like have vendors who don't have inventory or haven't had any sales in a long time sit down, as an example. This is part of a much larger and very cool tech task where NPCs on lots and towns can now act independently of their owner. This is going to allow us to finally have pets move and behave when the owner isn't around, instead of just being statues. Finally, we are also adding a new date column to the vendor UI so you can sort the latest item added. This is just the first of many interface improvements that will be coming. Later, we plan to do some major improvements to permissions and controls in the vendors. As part of all of this, we will be posting here some shots of the visual improvements as they are completed. So this is all good news for our vendors and for our shopping needs. We can see which vendors actually are worth looking at, so that'll be very handy. So we have the merchant cash register and pattern. This is a simple in-game commission charging version and will be available for purchase in-game in the same locations you can purchase in-game vendors now. You can also purchase the pattern to apply it to any existing vendor, commission or commission free. And it's a nice little cash register, looks like the old fashioned style from like the 50s, 40s, when you used to see those little handles on them. It's pretty cool. And then we have the ornate cash register and patterns. This is an ornate commission charging version and will be available for purchase in the add-on store. You can also purchase the pattern to apply to any existing vendor. Commission or commission free. And that's a nice gold one. That's kind of beautiful, so that'll be nice. And then we have the bundle cash register pattern. This is a pattern that comes with bundles. Note that pledges that came with vendors will also receive one of these patterns. So it sounds like they're going to hand out the older pledges, this particular version. And it's also a nice looking, almost an ornate gothic-y style, since it's kind of black and goldish. It's nice. Alright, so that's all cool. That'll be interesting to see little cash registers sitting on probably counters or on the ground. So we'll see how that goes. And then next up we have, sounds like another new area. We have the making of the Lost Veil Continued. We talked a little bit about this last week, so maybe we'll get some more info on what's going on here. The Lost Veil is a new adventure area, originally promised during the Kickstarter campaign. That is accessible only during special astrological alignments. Note, this is not to be confused with the Hidden Veil, which is an entire island of both adventuring areas and towns that is accessible at all times. This is from a dev forum post, a DevPlus forum post by Travis Vascorpor Kaliski. Okay, so now we have some nice screenshots here. Very dark and kind of blue. I guess I'd call it mysterious looking area. Can't hardly tell what's there. It's so dark. Almost like a mountainside and a little forest. And, wow, some sort of a creature. So, and a troll, it looks like they're going to give us. Oh, see if it's a stronger troll than the one we had before. That's all he's going to say. There was no other words. So it's just all pictures, so you can take a look at those to see what this is turning into. So it's apparently some kind of a secret, just based on looking at this. All right, so next up, we have heraldry items continued. This week, we iterated further on the armor to ensure that founder versions were visually distinct, and the founder cloth heraldry armor is making its first appearance. This is from a Dev Plus forum post by Starlong. Update, February 8th. Founder heraldry items will have unique visuals, including collars on the tabards, longer bottom cloth sections with angled design, shinier cloth, thicker, more detailed edging, and other details. We have updated the pictures on this post and Sketchfab links with these updated visuals, as well as adding the latest version of Founder Cloth Armor. So we have the Founder Cloth Heraldry Armor, which is a very nice blue, kind of a dark blue with the red and white pattern there with the snake pattern that they've got on it, which is really nice. And you can watch a little video of that if you want to see it. And then we have the Founder Leather Heraldry Armor, which is also that dark blue. And it does have some gold trim, too, so that'll look nice. And then we have the Founder Leather, the Founder Plate Heraldry Armor also. And it also looks the same, just on plate. And the Founder Chain Heraldry Armor. So all looking very nice, and I would guess we get that, I'm not sure when, but we're getting to see it now. So that'll be fun to see what that looks like. And hopefully we can pattern stuff with it and everything else, so we'll see what comes of that. Alright, so next up we have the R50 Postmortem Telethon YouTube video and missed questions. YouTube, we got the video of the postmortem posted on YouTube for those of you who missed it. Our apologies for the first few minutes being cut off due to technical difficulties. And so let's go through these missed questions. We've got a few of them here. We had over 10 pages of questions left unanswered after the R50 postmortem. With the assistance from the team, we were able to get those questions, and we posted them to the forums on Thursday. So this is from a forum post by Darkstar again. Here are the questions that we did not have time to get to during the R50 postmortem. I tried my best to answer these with the help from the rest of the team, but some we just don't have the details yet to provide. I probably won't have any time to do any follow-ups to these. The community did a great job assisting us this telethon to make sure we didn't miss a single question. Please note, I deleted a bunch of duplicated questions and also deleted any questions that we answered with the Q1 post or with release of R50 or that we answered in previous postmortems. Also note that we are generally going to stop answering questions about when, as those are answered by our quarterly schedule posts, and any other answers are going to be either no ETA or soon, or we'll update with the next quarterly post. A final thought, we see a lot of repeat questions and requests. Please consider reading one of our other missed question posts, watching one of the previous postmortems, reading one of the postmortem transcripts, and or reading our post episode 1 plan post before posting a question. Your question might have already been answered. So in other words, do some research before asking questions and make sure you're not duplicating things, because, yeah, there's lots of questions to ask and we want to get to all the new ones. All right, here we go. Elgarian, can you please explain how looting pickpocketing players works now, especially in regards to a large stack of items? Let's say the person has a single piece of ore next to a stack of 500 ore in their inventory. Answered by Atos, choosing randomized items now only includes the first item of a type in its list of choices. So having 200 unstacked worms only counts once. We didn't get in the stack splitting, but it does favor medium-sized stacks of stuff over giant ores. Or over giant ones, excuse me there. It can still pick a giant one, but just less likely. I don't think we are going to reveal the exact map, but feel free to go experiment with a friend and see what you think. Okay, next question is Uncle Sven. What other reflex twitch combat features do you intend to implement? Atos, I plan on continuing to add more 2 to 3 second window situational or response skills, but as with past skills, I try to make this optional. While I like to reward people who do like that aspect, I don't want to make it so powerful that it's required to be competitive. I have hooks for checking time since you critical hit or were critically hit. Since you block, parry, dodge, or were block, parry, dodged, and plan to more options of that sort over time. For the most part, between now and launch, my focus will be on masteries, now calling them proficiencies, a small number of new skills, combos, and balance. Next question is by Z. Can we have the ability to place things on castle walls and in the castle wall towers? Star answered this. We have done some experiments with this, but there are some serious visual issues. The main issue is that walls and fences have very soft collision to make them easier to place partially inside of each other to make the perimeter fencing easier. Unfortunately, this means items placed on them will appear partially inside the walls and fences. We don't have an easy way to fix this without creating 2 separate collision layers, which would be performance expensive. With that said, we do want to make this happen eventually. And the next question is by Mia Sway. After gemming weapons and getting on hit, then gemming ring and necklace to do more damage, does adding that gem to your chest add anything? If not, should it? Star says, yes, there are lots of gem enchantments tied to the chest piece. And Brandon Cotton says, armor procs are unique to chest armor and require them to be gemmed. Chest armor has enchantments just like all other slots. And the next question is by Sefer Fantasy. Will the taming system be adjusted anytime soon? Atos says, my belief is the concerns with the taming system are largely caused by people comparing it to the UO system and the power it gave. The difference is in UO you had to give up a lot of other skills to be a master tamer. In games like WoW or EverQuest, the classes are designed around whether they have a pet or not, so they can make the pet more powerful. In SOTA we let you learn any and all skills, so if we made pets powerful, they would be essentially mandatory for play and players wouldn't have to give up anything for them. We tried to balance this through focus costs and consumables, but still didn't get to a point where old tamers were happy. I will be introducing a new proficiency system, I was calling it Masteries, and it will finally bring choice and also more power to tamers. It will go live in R51. And the next question is by Ali Oop. What's the demonym for Residents of the Hidden Vale? Star says, good question. Hidden Vale Ranchers. And so that's just a little sampler of the questions. There are more if you go to the forum post. So always fun to read the question and answers that were missed. And, you know, I think it'd be nice if they'd just post all the questions that were asked too, but that would be a lot more work. So just, that's one of the things. All right, and so let's see. Next up here, we have NPC Submissions Request. Xenos and you. Scott Lum Jennings posted our latest request for NPC submissions and for you and Xenos. This is for Developer Plus level backers who are eligible for the Design an NPC reward. Help create and name a character in the game. For reference, here is our current status on which towns we have done this work on and which towns remain to be done. So the done towns are Eri, Adoris, Braemar, no backer NPCs, Desolus, Estgard, etc., Janisford, Kiln, Kingsport, no backer NPCs, Owl's Head, no backer NPCs, Resolute, Salonia, no backer NPCs, Soultown, no backer NPCs, and Spite. In progress, we have Xenos and you, and left to be done, we have Bramble, Brittany and Suburbs, Bruna Cash, Brookside, Celestis, Eastmarch, Elad's Lighthouse, Fortis End, Goatee, Graff Island, Mud, No Reach, Northwood, Point West, Port Graff, Storms Reach, and West End. So lots of towns left to populate. So keep in mind what names you want to add and what backstories you want to add to the game. That'd be fun. All right, so Xenos, from a Dev Plus form both by Scott Lum Jennings. Thank you for your continuing support of Shroud of the Avatar. This month, we're seeking entries for the inhabitants of the town of Xenos. Port of entry to the mysterious island of Asylum. Xenos is a town where humans, elves, and satyrs live in harmony, or so it seems, dominated by a stream of pilgrims seeking entry to the legendary halls of artifice. Xenos is a key way station on the path of truth for every aspiring avatar, even were that not so. However, its unique architecture and art make it popular among the tourists of every stripe. Note that Xenos is not the only town we will be seeking submissions for R51. If you do not want your backer NPC to be in Xenos, you may want to wait. I will update this thread if we are running low on submissions. Generally, we are okay on duplicate submissions for characters who don't get adopted, such as guards. But if you absolutely have a character who should be in a given city, such as Brittany, you should wait until we advertise for that city. First, some brief notes. Xenos is one of our uncloning scenes, where we go back and fill out unique content for each village and city. Thus, the NPCs are already in the game, but we can change appearance to a degree as seen below. Gender, etc. to suit your request. If you want to pick a specific NPC, for example, one near your own house, we will do our best to accommodate you, but may not be able to. NPC visual customization, as you may have noticed, is still at a very early stage in development. Right now, for backers who want to be added to Xenos, we cannot offer any visual customization options beyond our standard gallery of NPC models. If you would like to have input over the visual customization of your NPC, you can wait for further releases when we can offer this. We will also allow a one-time visual recustomization once customization has been added, if you would like to add your NPC now. Response to this will be on a first-come, first-served basis for each call for responses. If your NPC doesn't appear in Xenos, feel free to respond again in future posts. We have quite a few towns and cities to populate, over 20, actually. We are allowing people who have already submitted NPCs to submit their ideas for Xenos as well, if they like, but people who have not submitted NPCs will take priority over those who have. When responding, please list a first and second choice for your profession. There are a few NPCs which already have been placed as part of the main quest. Captain Steel, Kakis, Notice, which will not be changed. NPCs for Xenos can be human, satyr, or elven. Still with us? Great. Here's what we need for Xenos. This is updated at from 8:45 a.m. Central Time on 1:30, so this may not be up to date now. We need one food merchant, one weapons merchant, and 8 pilgrims. Must be human. Should be obsessed with despair, envy, greed, or lust. So, and 9 guards. See that one too. Satyrs only. So, yeah, you might want to make sure that's still the situation, because that's quite a few days ago from here. All right, if you'd like to have your namesake be a resident of Xenos, please respond via private message on this forum to me, Lum, using the following format. NPC name, NPC gender, NPC race, human, satyr, elven, NPC profession, first choice, NPC profession, second choice, NPC background, optional, a paragraph on whom your NPC is, how they would respond to nosy outlanders poking about their business, what brings them to Xenos or keeps them there, or anything else you'd like to add. We reserve the right to edit and or reject any background that does not fit lore and setting of the game. So anyone that's trying to create their own story, they might not like, but that's cool. Please specify in your submission that this NPC is for Xenos. We will respond if your NPC is used. If it is rejected for whatever reason, such as an inappropriate name, if a supplied background inappropriate, or if your NPC missed the cutoff for this release. Okay, and thanks for your support, and see you in Xenos. All right, then we've got you, again, from Scott Jennings, Dev Plus Forum Post. Thank you for your continuing support of Shroud of the Avatar this month. We're seeking entries for inhabitants of the village of Yu. Shrouded in mist, Yu is an example of the simple beauty that the surviving elves not consumed by the rage of the obsidians try to find in the world. Found in the forests of northern Paladis, Yu is far from the troubles that consume much of Novia, something that is its residents find to their liking. Note that Yu is not the only town we will be seeking submissions for from R51. If you do not want your backer NPC to be in Yu, you may want to wait. I will update this thread if we are running low on submissions. Generally, we are okay with duplicate submissions for characters who do not get adopted, such as guards. But if you actually have a character who should be in a given city, such as Brittany, you should wait for that city to be advertised. Alright, for first some brief notes here on Yu. Yu is one of our uncloning scenes, which we go back and fill out unique content for each village and city. Thus, the NPCs are already in the game, but we can change the appearance to a degree as seen below, gender, etc. to suit your request. If you want to pick a specific NPC, for example, one near your own house, we will do our best to accommodate that. And then, well, we've already talked about this, NPC visual customization, and first come, first serve. If you haven't done it yet, you get first priority. All the same things we were talking about here. Let's see. There's a few NPCs which have already been placed as part of side quests. Cavilitus, Miskir, and the Blacksmith, and Pendro, the magic supplies merchant, which will not be changed. NPCs for you can be human or elven. So, and here's the updated list from 130. We have 10 guards, 1 waiter or waitress, 1 fishing merchant, fisherman, 1 guild registrar, 3 residents and visitors. If you'd like to have your namesake be a resident of you, please respond via private message to Lum in the following format, same format as before. And same, all the same details there. Thanks for your support, and see you in you. All right, so that takes care of those submissions. So all good stuff. Hopefully everyone gets their submission in. Next up, we have the adventures of Lord British and Lars Jensen. Richard Lord British Garriott from our team at Port Larian and Lars Jensen from Travion Games sat down with the talk in Dur Alm, guys, to chat about the history of video games and the development of Shroud of the Avatar. Have a listen. Now, there's a little video you can watch here about the history of games, so that should be a nice video to take a look at and get some more information on the game and all of these things, so that's good stuff. So take a look there. It's in the update page. You can click on the link. All right, next up here we have the free trial choose any path information again. So this is all good news for the trials, which is ongoing now. It's not stopping anymore. So with release 50 free trial, users can now choose any of the three paths, truth, love, or courage, to start. But after the selection, they are locked into that single path going forward. We changed this from locking them to a path that we had chosen, which was courage, because we felt this myth represented a core part of the brand of the game, which is choice in all things. Example, choosing your path, no classes, choose virtue, non-virtue, etc. Free trial access allows you to play the entire game in any of the online modes with a few key differences in gameplay. You will be alone to explore hundreds of scenes. You'll be alone to explore hundreds of scenes and talk with thousands of players and adventure through the opening quests and gain experience and skills as you get used to the world of New Britannia. Here is the updated list of the visitor limits. The term visitor is appended to your character name when you first start the free trial. Your max skill level is set to 50. new. There is a limited, you're limited to a single story path, truth, love, or courage. You cannot purchase nor sell items via player vendors or public vendors. No ownership of player property nor any use of player property signs. You cannot move, interact with items on a player property even if you're given permission. You cannot interact with public chests. You cannot give items to other players via the trade or in a mail, so you can't send any mail. You cannot flag as open PvP, and you cannot gain nor create ransom items when you kill or are killed in PvP in open PvP zones. Character data may be deleted if not eventually upgraded to a paid account, and you cannot play in offline mode. So those are your restrictions. So it's quite a few of them. So, but it is a good way to get your feet wet and see if you want to actually buy the game and get into it. So it's a great way to introduce everybody that is interested in this game. So join us in New Britannia for free today. So that's great. And you know that there's not really any games that are giving that much playtime for free. You know, that are pay games. So this is a really cool thing. So we'll see how many new people that brings in for us. All right, next up we have the Weekend Flash Sale. Viking and Wolf themes. So Viking and Wolf items are 20% off. In honor of the new Norgard Barbarian gear and the new wolves that made it into the game in Release 50, we are putting all Viking and Wolf-related items on sale. Get a look at the lineup below. All of the sale items are available on the add-on store, and several are also available for sale on in-game with the Gold Crown Merchants, located in Ardoris, Central Brittany, Resolute, Airy, and Alicid. So there's a pretty good list of things. You've got the longboat, the ornate Mishkram wolf pipe. We've got the three-story Viking crafting pavilion. We've got the Viking short sword and the patterns, the longboats. We've got some one-story villages, strongholds, the great hall. We've got merchant outfits and all kind of things. So just take a look if you're interested in any of those themes, and you can get a 20% discount. So that would be very nice. All right, and next up we have a job opening for an executive assistant. Now they've been looking for this executive assistant for quite some time now, so hopefully they run into one soon. We'll go through this briefly here. Thank you for your interest in Portalarium. We currently have an opening in Austin, Texas, for a full-time executive assistant position. If you'd like to join the Portalarium Tribe, the team building the groundbreaking Shroud of the Avatar game, please submit your resume cover letter to jobs@portalarium.com. So anyone interested in doing this job here, it's an executive assistant, and it's a fairly stringent qualification, so just go through all these on the forum post and see if maybe you have the skills to join the team. The position starts at a full-time contract position with the potential to transition to full-time employee within 6 to 12 months. Once the transition to employee occurs, then the employee position includes company-paid medical, dental, and vision through United Healthcare. The job types, full-time and contract. And the salary is $15 to $22.50 per hour, probably depending on your skill, etc. So take a look and see if you want to do it. All right, next up we have upcoming events calendar. So February 22nd we have Release 51. On March 13th we have SXSW Interactive Overhead Transit Cable Hyperloop PRT and Drones. On March 14th we have the launch event at Bob Bullock Museum. March 15th through the 17th, we have the SXSW Gaming Expo booth. And on March 15th, we have the SXSW Interactive $100,000 Blockchain Investment Challenge. And also on March 15th, we have the SXSW Gaming It's Here, Shroud of the Avatar, and What's Coming Next. And on March 17th, we have the SXSW Gaming The Ever-Evolving Nature of Game Crowdfunding. On March 21st to the 23rd, we have the GDC Classic Game Postmortem Ultima Online. On March 27th, there's Release 52, which is the launch candidate. Possible launch, is that what we're saying? Yeah, candidate, that means more than likely. And April 26th, we have Release 53. On May 31st, Release 54. June 28th, Release 55. July 26th, Release 56. On August 21st through the 25th, we have Gamescom. And on August 30th, we have Release 57. So we're getting about halfway through the year there, a little more. Visit the official community center to see the great lineup of activities our amazing community has planned for this weekend. Be sure to check out this month's release events thread in the Soda Forums for additional events. So lots of events going every weekend, and if you're ever bored and need something to do, take a look. There's always something happening. All right, next up we have the Magnificent Trophy Rooms Contest returns. So we talked about this last week, so remember the Trophy Room Contest we had last year? There were some great entries. We saw some beautiful decorated walls and a lot of very serious talent going on there with these, able to find all these heads. Something that's definitely found its way to avoid me because I can't find a lot of these heads. So it's always fun to look at what people have found. Get your homes ready. You have the fun opportunity to show off your hunting heroism, crafting coordination, and trophy triumphs in this new three-part contest. Adding on to last year's Trophy Room Contest, we now have the Wild Boars and the Updated Wolves to make into new trophies. Here's how the contest will work. Part 1. Hunt down a creature, defeat another player to get their skull, or catch a fish. Part 2. Craft the trophy from that creature. Human skulls come as is, no preparation needed. Part 3, display your trophy triumphs in a single room of a house you have access to. And submissions must include 2 to 3 screens of combating a creature that can provide a trophy, one time with UI, one time without. 2 to 3 screens of you in the crafting process for creating the trophies, 2 times with the UI. 3 screens of your trophy room, 1 time with the UI and 2 times without the UI, different angles, lighting, etc. Brief 1-paragraph description for each screenshot category. Please include as much basic detail about the location and other statistics that might be useful for others wanting to hunt the area to craft their own trophies. Submit all screenshots in a single post response to this forum thread, and there's a link there. Deadline to submit is Monday, February 26th at 11:59 p.m. Central Time. So, sounds like fun. Anybody that's really excited to show off their talent of decorating and destroying creatures with great heads to take, maybe take a chance and get in there. So, fun stuff there. All right, next up we have... we're talking about this again. This is the Virtue Marathon 2018 Children's Miracle Hospital Network. So, avatars, on your marks, join Lord British and the crew from Port Illyrium, Airy Fund, and Moretz as we tackle the 5K half marathon and full marathon to raise funds and awareness for the Children's Miracle Network Hospital Network at the Austin Marathon 2018. This event is open to all community members, friends, and families to attend and or support. Austin Marathon event info, when? Sunday, February 18th, where? Downtown Austin, Texas. Although the deadline to participate as a member of the Team Avatars has passed, you can still show your support by making a tax-deductible donation via this page, there's a link there, to the CMHN. Every bit helps and will push Team Avatars across that finish line. Donate $25 or more to the CMHN and receive a Virtue Marathon 2018 in-game digital cloak. Pictured above, there's a picture of it here. No need to attend the event in Austin to redeem. See the full forum post for details, and there's a link for that as well. And it's a beautiful cloak. We've talked about it. Nice and fuzzy green with kind of a gold. And it looks like the doctor symbol to me. I forget what they call it. It's got a name. But I don't have a Sleepy's here to remind me. So good stuff there. And hopefully we've got a lot of turnout there. All right, next up we have Sequana Brazier Valentine's Day Dinner, February 14th, 3 to 7 p.m. Central Time, in Ordinus Mortis, February the 14th, 3 to 7 p.m. Central. Says, come join us. So come join us for one night only at the Sequana Brazier in Ordinus Mortis for our Valentine's Day dinner. Come alone or with your own special Valentine to enjoy a meal. Avatars Radio has graciously offered to cover the event from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Central on February 14th. So it sounds like a fun time. So go and have fun there at Ordinus Mortis. And if anybody doesn't know where that is, I believe it's very close to Brittany. So I've run by there a few times myself. Also, okay, so next, we have a Getting Started video, How to Learn New Emotes. With the recent video creation contest collecting over 200 videos, we are now selecting a video from this collection to present in this weekly Getting Started video series feature. This week, we are spotlighting Laces Emotes, How to Learn, Teach, and Find Out Where to Get Them video. So again, these are very, very nice videos, and they're, I think they're about 2.5 minutes. So you can go through them real fast if you're just interested in learning something real quick without a whole lot of watching, and just get right into it. So this is good stuff, and these videos are on the website for the YouTube website, Portalarium's area there. So for more walkthrough videos, subscribe to youtube.com/Portalarium to get the latest releases, and I'm sure they've got them all listed there too. So if you want to find something, learn how to do something, you can go there and track down the one you're looking for. So that's a great thing for everybody who is questioning how to do something in this complicated game. So it's always good. All right, next up we have another Did You Know from Algarian. The forests of New Britannia are fraught with danger. Did you know that? Ha! Any of us that's been to the forest have found that out. Avatars, this is Algarian from at Soda Help with a regular Did You Know feature. Expect to see these posted regular on community channels and here in the weekly update. Did you know the forest adventure scenes in at Strata the Avatar are fraught with hidden dangers? Before harvesting wood with an axe, prepare yourself. Some trees let their dislike of woodland intruders abundantly clear. Beware the Reaper. And you've seen a Reaper, right? If not, you will run into them eventually if you hang out in the forests. And they are very dangerous, so beware. All right, next up we have recommended project to support, The Saga of Lusamia MMORPG. It has been centuries since the Adepts and Elders roamed the land, wielding magic to protect humanity from what lies beyond. Mortals have learned how to get by with the strength of their own two hands, have learned how to survive, how to adapt, but they cannot face the rising threat from across the seas alone. Only magic can defeat magic, and so to their quest begins a journey to rediscover the source of all magic and harness it for the salvation of humanity. The Saga of Lusamia is a group-based MMORPG developed by Stormhaven Studios, LLC. Originally designed as a homegrown tabletop campaign in the 90s, our focus is primarily on enhancing the tabletop experience and providing an old-school experience for MMORPG gamers who thrive on community-based adventures that span the course of weeks, months, and years alongside their fellow adventurers. Epic storylines, 8-person groups, multi-group raids, ability-based character progression, crafting that is equally important to adventuring, no mini-maps, no experience points, zero quest hub grinding, no flashing icons over NPC heads telling you who to talk to, and an endless world to explore. Robert Undone Thompson here from Portalarium. Saga of Lusamia is a hobby project of mine that also played a big role in my hiring. I have been the lead developer for it for the past few years and am very excited to share it with you. I hope you enjoy what you see from this passion project. So that sounds like another fun game to take a look at. So hopefully there's a link. It looks like I can click on a link here. And hopefully some maybe video footage and stuff to see what's going on there. So great stuff. Saga of Lucemia. Okay, next up we have Resources Player Helping Players. The official SOTA New Players Welcome Forum and Player Created Resources Forum have the best player created resources from Shadow of the Avatar. Whether it's a player written guide, a video walkthrough, or a wiki type website, visit the official community resources page for a complete list of all things community. And finally, backer shipping addresses we talk about every week for the last few years in preparation for shipping backers physical pledge rewards around the game's launch period, which is coming up very soon. On your account page, please enter your shipping address, log into the SOTA website, and select account in the top right corner, then select edit profile beneath your avatar image. Reminder to be sure that support at Portalarium.com is unblocked from your email account. Also, you'll probably see a little message on your account page if you need to verify that information, and make sure to verify it. Make sure that your both password fields are empty. That's what's causing me problems. And get it updated. And it'll say profile updated and you'll be done. So very simple, and that is the news of the week. So I hope everybody's having fun in the game, and it's always fun to play, and we are always enjoying it and looking forward to new releases and the launch times and everything that's coming up. So I hope everybody is having fun, and I guess I'll see you next week, and we'll see you sleepiest too by then, hopefully. And we will close out now. The awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teakle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, and music and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith with Echoes from the Caverns.